Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 13th day of April, Anno Domini 2024. That's right, the Ides of April. And you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Have you paid your dues? Because we are
in
a fun drive. Here comes the news. There were a lot of security issues this week. I mean, a lot of them. I have a list up on our website. You can find it at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. And you can read along. Because there's a lot. Normally, I put together the news, and it's one item and one item and one item. In this, there were a dozen items, 10 anyway, that were
newsworthy,
security related this week. And I just thought I'll just make the list. There was a major Gmail AI security update for 3 billion users. AI has apparently become so good, so fast, that it has dramatically lowered the barrier to attacks, which Google admits has led to a spike in higher quality phishing at scale. Luckily, this is all happening behind the scenes at Google, which means they're taking care of it, so you don't really have to do anything about it. However, there's another Google warning that you do have to handle if you're one of Chrome's billion-plus users on Windows PCs. Then another update warning has just been issued to update your browser as soon as you can. The latest update includes 3 fixes for high-risk memory safety vulnerabilities. If you're one of some 92,000 users of older D-Link network attached storage devices, NAS devices, NAS, I have some bad news. Hackers are actively exploiting a pair of recently discovered vulnerabilities to remotely commandeer them. Unfortunately, D-Link said it has no plans to patch the vulnerabilities, which are present only in end-of-life devices, meaning they are no longer supported by the manufacturer. So your choices are to live with the vulnerability or buy new devices. In an announcement that shocks no one, Microsoft urges you to update Windows. The latest patches include fixes for 2 separate 0 days, which means they're already being actively exploited. Oh, and the update fixes a whopping 149 other flaws. Speaking of Microsoft, apparently they left a server linked to Bing search engine wide open, with no security credentials used by Microsoft employees to access internal systems housed within various scripts, code, and configuration files. Yeah, so whatever information that was, it's out there. Oh, speaking of what information is out there, AT&T is notifying millions of current or former customers that their account data have been compromised and published last month on the dark web. Just how many millions the company isn't saying. But if you are an AT&T customer, you should be getting a notice about this, but all your information is out on the dark web, all of it.
And welcome it just to keeps AT&T. Getting better.
Apple, let's not leave them out, send out iPhone security alerts to people across 92 countries on Wednesday, warning that their iPhones have been remotely targeted in a mercenary spyware attack. Currently, this is my favorite part, Apple's suggested remedy is to, and I quote, enlist expert help.
How can...
We're not doing anything. Go find somebody.
Yeah.
Okay. Like the D-Link problem, hardware sold for years by the likes of Intel and Lenovo contain a remotely exploitable vulnerability that will never be fixed. This is mostly Intel, Lenovo, and Supermicro server hardware. But if you've got a high-end laptop from one of those people or desktop from one of those people, it is quite possible it's using a server motherboard in it. Researchers have uncovered a new variant of the Spectre version 2 attack, a security flaw impacting Linux systems running on modern Intel processors. Luckily, the Linux people are on top of it, so update your system and monitor it. About 100,000 LG TVs are vulnerable to takeover. Go to your settings menu and run the update. Okay, I think that's most of them. I think. For those of you who need it, there's a list on the Soundbites website, and you can go to soundbites.org, and it's currently, of course, we haven't really started taking calls yet, so it's currently the number one item under links heard this week. And, of course, we have a poll. Of course, we do at soundbites.org. Again, bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. And the poll is, so very many security issues this week. Your choices are, this is a little overwhelming. Meh, just another week in tech. Thanks for the checklist. Getting my fax machine out of the basement now. And going commando, baby. So far, we've got 35 votes. And thanks for the checklist is number one, you're welcome, followed very closely by meh, just another week in tech. And of course, you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, it's 966-5299, toll free 800-790-0415. And this is, by the way, you should know, a pledge week. And you can use those two numbers, to give us a call. You will speak to the lovely and charming Cheryl, who will be happy to take your pledge. If you don't want to talk to a human, and I don't know why not, Cheryl is delightful, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. It only takes a couple of minutes, and we are, Anne-Marie, thank you for your pledge. Thank you so much. This is great. Thank you.
One thing we...
thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, you know, with people, if they don't want, because you bring up, you know, as far as going online and pledging, you know, don't worry about it. It's safe. It's secure. We do not resell your information. Once we get your information and all that other stuff, once it clears, it's, you know, trashed. We don't hang on to your personal information, so it's not sitting in some place where, you know, it could get hacked and sold or anything else.
Right. If you do call, if you call and speak to Cheryl, we have people who will say, "Oh, well, just use the same credit card you used last year." We don't know what that is.
Yeah.
We don't keep that information.
We do not. That's the only reason I bring that up, because I had somebody else. Last week, you know, sit there and question, you know, about doing that online and all that, filling out the information and all that. And it's like, no, you can do it securely, and it's totally secure.
Yep. It's easy. It's fast. It's completely secure. And
you're doing it from the comforts of your home. You don't have to go outside.
You don't even have to wear pants.
Yeah.
And so you can do that, and it will be... quick and easy and convenient. And look, we need your funds. This station exists only through your generosity. We don't have government sponsors. We don't have corporate sponsors. We don't have sugar daddies waiting in the background to throw money at us, sadly. We don't have any of that. What we have is you. When we say we're public radio, we are member-supported public radio. We ain't kidding. The money comes from you, and this may be the only show you listen to all week. I get that. Some people are not into jazz. I don't know who those people are, but there are some.
Mm-hmm.
And so this may be the only show they listen to all week, but it takes a station to put us on the air, and that station needs to stay on the air. So if you appreciate this show, we would appreciate it back if you would call and make the pledge, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415 or pledge securely online at jazz901.org.
And the other big thing is we've been doing this now for 33 years, 7 years here at this station. And, you know, Nick broke the news to me a while ago. We're still not getting paid for this.
Yeah. And by the way, we've been 14 years on this station.
Oh, 14?
Yeah. Where the heck? You may have been only awake for half of it, but
probably.
We were here for 14 years.
I thought it was, I don't know why he had seven in my mind.
I don't know.
At my age, who knows?
Yeah.
But anyways, we still, you know, we're giving up our Saturdays right at prime time. I mean, I leave the house around 11 and I don't get home till, you know, 2:30, 3 o'clock. So there's a hunk right in the middle of a Saturday that we stop what we're doing from our families or planning stuff in that and come here and volunteer our time to, you know, spread the information and have a good time with you folks. Because we know you've enjoy it because you've supported us over the years. You've been there for us. And to continue doing that, we need your support. And we only do it twice a year. Unlike some other places that have like quarterly fundraisers and all that other stuff. We don't do that.
And corporate sponsors behind them, they don't really need the member money.
And, you know, it's a minimal station. You know, it's not like, you know, it's you know, some huge place. We're in the side of a school.
Yeah.
You know,
I'll tell you what, we...
very modest.
When we say shoestring, we mean it.
Yeah.
This is, when you say minimalist, this is, you know, white walls and one chair. That's where we are.
Well, the thing of it is, you get us three in here, and it's a party.
That's
because
right.
The studio is not very big to move around and everything else. It's not designed like that. There's not these big palatial offices either. It's very small, condensed, but we do one heck of a job bringing music and entertainment to you 7 days a week.
Right. And you're right. We have had, you know, there are people I would love to bring in to the show, but where would we put them? Where would we possibly put them? There are three mics in this room. That's it. We're done. If we have a fourth person, two people get very cozy on the mic and it's an issue. It can be an issue. Steve, of course, is not here yet. He's had some issues but he'll be here shortly. And, you know, that's just life. That's the way life works. Before we go to the phones, let me remind you, thank you, that we are in a pledge drive and we want to thank Mark for his generous donation. Thank you, Mark. We very much appreciate it. And I suspect that's him on the line right now. Hi, Mark. Welcome. Mark from Greece. What's up?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Peachy, and thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. I was happy to renew. I couldn't remember if I gave last drive or not. You know, money flow is always, it's in flux.
Yeah.
But I did try to renew again. I have given a lot in the past. So just wanted to tell everybody, just give what you can. It's well worth it. I mean, you guys have enriched my life so much.
Thank you so much, Mark.
It goes both ways. It goes both ways, Mark. You've also contributed and offered some. Matter of fact, Nick and I were talking about this before. We've got so many of our listeners that call in and not only ask questions, but they also offer, you know, tips and tricks because we can't know it all.
Right. And if someone's out there that can't really truly afford to give, call in the show and give your information that you know that you can help somebody with.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
My favorite part
to contribute.
My favorite part of the show is when callers help each other.
Right.
Because I can take a nap, and I like that part.
Yeah. Also, you, Nick, have enriched me through the show and through social media.
Thank you, Mark.
You are so quick witted, and you make me laugh so much.
Thank you. That's my goal. Thank you.
You know, so I feel blessed.
Thank you. Yep. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You guys have a wonderful, wonderful day, and I hope you pull this pledge drive through quickly.
Thank you. Me too. Yep. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Mark.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mark.
Yep.
And again, it's easy to make that pledge.
Mm-hmm.
585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. You'll talk to the lovely and talented Cheryl. If you do not want to talk to a human being, I don't know who wouldn't want to talk to Cheryl, but okay.
Yeah.
If you don't want to talk to a human being, you can pledge securely, and I do mean the word securely, mm-hmm. online at jazz901.org. And as Dave pointed out earlier, once we have your information and the transaction goes through, we forget that information. We don't want to keep it. The easiest way to not lose someone's information is to not have it to begin yep. with. So we don't. And that's, you know, that's part of secure.
Doing it with confidence.
Right. We don't keep track of who and what and where and how and all of that. Your information is your information.
And the bottom line is we just care that you took the time and did it. And as a member of the Soundbites family.
Right. Exactly. So give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415 or pledge securely online at jazz901.org.
I'm sorry. One other thing we should mention, because obviously you said Steve's not here yet. He is coming. So that's why if you folks are trying to see us on camera or anything else like that.
Right.
Sorry, you're not going to see
right.
it.
No, YouTube yet.
YouTube, yeah.
But it'll be here shortly, and that's important. We are, think about all the ways you have to see and hear us. Thank you. We're on YouTube. I don't know if we're on Facebook. I don't think so. Al, thank you very much. Friend of the show, Al. We appreciate that. Thank you so much. The thing is, we're everywhere. You can hear us over the air. You can hear us over the internet. We're worldwide. And I suppose the space station, if they want to listen in. Hi up there. Hope you're having a good time.
Yeah, very well might.
You never know. And if you don't want to, if you're somewhere where you can't get an internet connection, you can always listen on the app. Yes, Jazz 90.1 has its own app. And you can listen to all kinds of stuff on there. And let's talk for just a moment about what you can get for your pledge. If you go online, you can see the benefits of membership. Aside from the great music that you get here, and of course sound bites, at various levels you get water bottles or a cookbook or a tote bag. You can't have a pledge drive without a tote bag.
Yeah,
it's not allowed. I believe it's a law. A coffee mug. There's the Soundbites portable USB charger, which is great. T-shirts, and of course the Soundbites full zip fleece in Heather Navy. That's nice.
Yeah, I'm waiting to see that one.
Yeah, me too. And of course, the really best thing is the Jazz 90.1 enhanced member cards. And we don't talk enough about those.
Yeah, no,
we don't talk enough about those. They are amazing. You get this card, and it gives you, depends on where you go, half off something, buy one, get one, that sort of stuff. It's all available to you there. But what's really most important is that if you use it regularly, at whatever level you pledge, you will more than make your money back. That's a given. If you pledge at a level where you get the member card, trust me, you're gonna find that
it'll pay for itself.
It pays for itself, more than pays for itself. We use it quite regularly.
And he's always looking to add other things to it.
Right.
So that's why, again, if you have the card, you got to check the Jazz 90.1 website, because there is the list of, stuff that you can get with this, and it's being updated from time to time as, Rob and the team here get new sponsors to join in and offer some kind of deal, whether it's, a florist or a winery or some place to eat. There's great deals out there, and you can have a good time, and save some money.
Yeah, it's the stuff that's available is quite amazing, and you can take a look on the website at the stuff that you can get. There's a place on the website to look at that. And it's under Support Jazz 901. It's the Jazz 90.1 member card. There's an app. And what happens is you use the app to do stuff. And you can use it not just in the Rochester area. There are a lot of local benefits. And you should take a look at the list on the website. It's extensive. It is extensive. But, you know, there's just a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you can find deals nearby, and it's access to member discounts and redemption coupons, and the on the app you can get notified of deals when you're on the go. You can even track your savings, and it's all there. There's just a lot of stuff in the member card, and it's well worth it.
Yeah.
I will tell you how well worth it is. Every year when I join at a level that gives me the member card. And the first thing that I do with the member card is I get it stolen by my daughter. She loves it. It takes her everywhere.
No, she didn't steal it. She acquired it from her father.
That's right. She inherits it the minute it comes in the house.
Yes. Where's my card, Dad?
So there is a certain point where I have to tell you that I don't use my member card personally.
But your daughter has a good time with it.
It goes immediately to my daughter, and she's a fan.
Young, and it's saving her money.
Right, right.
That's right. You know what we don't do for our kids.
Right.
It's just the way life is.
So, yeah. So it's important, I think, to understand that there's so much going on here. Take a look at the list of things that I pointed out today that are security updates. If you are a Linux user, an Apple user, a Microsoft user, a phone user, a router user, a Gmail user, there are updates you have to make. There's stuff you have to do to get yourself clean. And some of those will come to you automatically. You'll get a list that says, you know, you got to update now. Some of them you don't know about, and you have to deal with it. And then there are those that are simply, they don't care because it's an out-of-date, an end-of-life product, as they call it. And so they do not in any way bother with it. They're just not going to care. But we tell you so that you can be at least forewarned. And if you're going to actually deal with it, you need to know it's there to deal with. And that's us. That's what we do. So give us a call and make the pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Takes just a minute or two, depending on how slowly you type. And when you're done, think of how good you'll feel. Think of how fresher your breath will be, how much more attractive you will be to whichever sex you prefer to be more attractive to. Think of how much better you'll look in the mirror every day. Most importantly, think of how smug you can feel when we're still asking for donations and you've already given. We get a lot of people say, you ask too much. Well, sure, for those of you who do not donate, it's annoying. I understand that. So stop being annoyed. All you have to do is make the call, make the pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray. Steve Ray is in the studio. Me, Nick Francesco, I think he took the mule train in today. I'm pretty sure that was it. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Soundbites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you on the other side.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
Oh, and at 35 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites.
And it's really, really windy out there on the expressway.
Yeah, particularly when you have a high car.
Yeah. I'm doing you know, 65 miles an hour north and 10 or 20 miles an hour east and west.
Yeah. Side winds.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time looking out my side window in case anybody was being blown into my lane.
You get some of these semis that are empty, and they can wander from lane to lane.
Yep. All right. So keeping your data hidden from Apple is virtually impossible, experts have warned. A new study suggests that the default apps on an iPhone, iPad, and MacBook collect your personal data even when they appear to be disabled. This is the first study to research the privacy settings of Apple's default apps, specifically looking at Safari, Siri, Family Sharing, iMessage, FaceTime location services, Find My, and Touch ID to see whether the corporation is living up to their slogan, privacy. That's Apple. Like Google always lives up to their slogan, don't be evil. Well, they gave up that slogan, so I mean that was hypocritical of them, too. Associate Professor Jana Lindquist, head of the Computer Science Department at Aalto University in Finland, said, we focused on apps that are an integrated part of the platform and ecosystem. These apps are glued to the platform, and getting rid of them is virtually impossible. Due to the way the user interface is designed, users don't know what is going on. For example, the user is given the option to enable or not enable Siri, Apple's virtual assistant. But enabling only refers to when you use Siri's voice control. Siri collects data in the background from other apps you use, regardless of your choice, unless you understand how to go into settings and specifically change that. The team note that protecting your privacy on an Apple device would require expert knowledge and persistence. They also discovered that the online instructions are not only confusing, but fail to list all the necessary steps or explain what happens to the data collected. To test whether the average user can successfully protect their data, the scientists set up interviews where participants were asked to try to change their settings. They saw that the participants were able to take one or two steps in the right direction, but none succeeded in fully protecting their privacy, and it took them a long time to find and adjust the settings they did change. Amel Bordusen, a doctoral researcher at Aalto, said the online instructions for restricting data access are very complex and confusing, and the steps required are scattered in different places. There's no clear direction on whether to go into the app setting, the central settings, or even both. It turns out that the participants weren't able to prevent any of the apps from sharing their data with other applications or the service provider. The researchers say they can't be certain what Apple does with the data collected, but they predict that it is mainly for training the AI behind Siri and providing personalized experiences. The study details a number of suggestions on how to improve the guidelines in the future. For individual apps, they suggested opting for a third-party service, such as trading in Safari for Firefox. Of course, you could always trade it in for Chrome and have the same problem with a different company. Of course, while everybody knows that using Google's apps is just as bad for privacy as using Apple's, nobody's done a long-term study for most of the other apps available. Still think your iPhone use is private? Give us a call, preferably on a landline, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. And of course, you can use those numbers to pledge, or you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. This is not, to me, very shocking, a revelation. The reality is that everybody wants your data for something, whether it's Google or Apple or anybody. As far as we know, the Linux operating system itself doesn't collect any of your data. And believe me, people are looking. But that doesn't mean that any of the apps you add, any of the programs you add on, aren't looking for your data as well. Because the number one way companies make money these days is selling your data to advertisers. That's simply the way that things go. One of the reasons we say, you know, if you're using a free program, throw them a few bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they're making money, most of the people who put out freeware, shareware, are not interested in selling your data to advertisers if they make enough money to satisfy them.
Plus,
and for some
features.
People, that amount is zero. What?
The ad features.
Right. And so it encourages them to, A, continue to support the product, B, add features to the product, and C, not sell your data.
Mm-hmm.
That's an important thing. We all like free. I get it. There are a lot more people who listen to this show free than our members. I get it. But the reality is that there really isn't anything free anymore. Ain't no such thing as a free lunch. Tanstoffel.
Tangent.
What?
Ain't no justice no more.
You're right. And so you have to understand that when you are using a free app, the likelihood that they are taking whatever data you have and selling it to advertisers is very high.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook, TikTok, you know, all of those. I don't have those on my phone because I personally do not want them getting my data. I use a different browser to go to Facebook so that their universal cookie can't find out where I go on other things. And it's just, I mean, there's just a lot of that, you know, there's just a lot of that. So be aware that you are a product and everybody uses it. Everybody uses it. So be aware and be careful. And anything that you do, you know, look, I get it. Most people don't care. They've done studies. Mm-hmm. People will give up their email passwords for chocolate.
Have a cookie. Okay.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
Why do you think they call them computer cookies?
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone wants a cookie.
Everybody wants a cookie. That's exactly right. I'm not a big fan of coconut macaroons, but, you know, if it's a chocolate chip cookie, here's my data. But, you know, that's a true fact. People have, they did studies. People will give up their data for chocolate. If that's all your data means to you, you know, good for you. I don't know what else to tell you. But the reality is that they are collecting and selling your data. So when, you know, the first news item that I read included a thing where AT&T, all their account data had been compromised and published on the dark web for millions of current and foreign former customers. So, yeah, I get that. I get that. Those data are out there. But it's not just that. It's your current data that's in other apps as well. This is one of the reasons we're telling people all the time, don't reuse passwords.
Uh-huh.
If somebody gets my Gmail password, they can get at my Gmail. But I promise you, they will not be able to get at my banking system. They will not be able to log into any of the services I use or any of the computers I own or my phone or anything else, because all of my passwords are unique.
Because so many services have to have a forgot my password link because everyone forgets their password. So they email you that forgot password link. And if someone's in your email, they can change your Amazon password or your Citibank password or your PayPal password to something they know and then steal your money.
Right.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you don't have any money.
Right.
They can use your account to attack somebody else's account and remain anonymous.
Or open up a credit card or anything else.
When I was teaching, one of the things I would tell my students about that is you know, they would all get cocky. Well, I don't have anything anybody wants. I said, no, you have the one thing everybody wants.
Mm-hmm.
You have a pristine credit record. And that is the most valuable thing on the internet.
Oh, heck yeah.
And even if your credit record isn't pristine, if you have a credit limit, somebody will buy it. Somebody will take it.
And someone will fill out a credit card form and give you a $500 limit. You know, you're going to rebuild your credit. Here's, you know, $500.
Right.
They'll take that.
Exactly right. And then now you're $500 more in debt.
Well, if you don't think you're being, you know, spied upon that, you know, if you're doing, say, Facebook. and you go and search for, say, car insurance. Boom. All of a sudden now, as you're scrolling through, you're going to see all these ads and everything else for car insurance. Because they know, oh, she's looking or he's looking for this or that. They're constantly watching where you're going and your habits. And they can sell that information, and that's how they make money.
What's really insidious is it came to light a few months ago that several of the in-car, you know, help systems, you push the button and you get help.
Yep.
They track your driving habits. Well, I could kind of understand that. They sell that data to insurance companies and aggregators like LexisNexis, who then control your insurance rates. The story came out about a guy whose insurance rate like tripled, and so he you know, like everyone does, you go to other companies and they're all about the same price. Yeah. I always get a kick out of those TV commercials to say, we can save you $1,000 a year. Probably not. Everyone's about the same price because they all have the same data.
Right.
And so it turns out he went back to his original companies and his agent said, I'm not supposed to tell you this, but you should look at LexisNexis. And apparently his wife had a habit of speeding.
Ah.
And so the car knew that. And so it sold it to the insurance companies who raised his rates because that's an indicator of higher risk of accident. He never signed up for that service. It was never disclosed to him that that was happening. Now, I personally and my wife, we have little dongles plugged into our car from our insurance company.
Right.
And we get a discount for safe driving.
Right.
I keep meaning to go through the fine print and see if they're selling it somewhere.
I'm sure they are.
Well, I would almost say no, because it's that company collecting it themselves.
Maybe.
So maybe they wouldn't share it with their competitors.
Right. On the other hand, let's say you use Google Maps or Apple Maps.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things they show you is where the traffic jams are and where the slowdowns are. Where do you think they get those data? They track every phone on the roads. And when you have a whole bunch of phones that suddenly slow down, that's a traffic jam.
Yep. There was a guy, was it England?
Yeah.
A few years ago, he bought like 100 old Android phones and put them in a little red wagon and started walking down one of the busiest sidewalk streets in London. And suddenly traffic cleared because Google Maps showed a traffic jam.
Yep.
Because so many cars were going so slow, it started routing people around that street. And so within like 20 minutes, he had the street to himself.
Yep. And that's where they get those data.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you didn't sign up for that, you didn't ask for that, but you carry around a device that knows where you are every moment of every day. And they're using those data, and I will guarantee you they're selling those data. And that's just, you know, you're
the way it is.
You have a phone. Find my phone on either Android or Apple. How do you think they can find your phone? They know where it is.
Even just having a cell phone. The cell phone has to know where you are so it can ring when a call comes to you.
Right.
You see that on cop shows all the time. It used to be we triangulated the cell towers to see you're in this range anymore. No, we don't have to do that anymore. We know exactly where you are.
Exactly. Right. All they do is unimportant. But the point is, they know where you are. They know where everybody is. Mm-hmm. That's why you see, you know, in spy movies, they break the phone and take out the chip. And
you don't need to break the phone. Just take out the SIM card.
Right.
Except now you can't anymore because so many phones have gone to eSIMs.
Right, which is why you break the phone.
Yep. And so they talk about the powering it off isn't enough because they can remotely power it on.
Right.
I never quite believed that, remotely power on, but now we're starting to see iPhone is starting to give warnings about when you power off, it isn't really off because Find My can still track it. And now I read today that Apple's got a new thing they're putting into their retail stores. One of the most annoying things is you get a new phone and you try to copy the data from your old phone and it says, wait a minute, I got to update the OS first. And that takes an hour.
Right.
So they have this thing they're going to do in the retail stores. I'm going to see if we're going to get ours, where they can put a sealed box on this plate. And through the sealed box, the phone wakes up, connects to the internet, updates the OS. So it's a combination of NFC and wireless charging to give the phone enough power than the phone that comes shipped with some battery life, and the NFC to ping awake. So that means that phones are being shipped new in the box, not completely off.
Right.
Maybe new phones. Or maybe it wasn't the old phones. Or they're doing it in new phones. And it's that would be so nice that I don't have to update the OS when I get my new phone. But it's when you think about how that's happening in the background, the phones aren't off.
You're right. That's right. Mm-hmm. And we see it. You know, we see it with every model of phone. One of the reasons that there are some phone models that are not allowed to be sold in the United States is because the government is worried about most of them come from China, so it's mostly Chinese spying on us. But, you know, that just means the Chinese are going to have to buy the data from Google and Apple. That's easy enough.
Yeah.
It doesn't really stop anything. So we need to be aware that those things are out there. And anytime you have a cell phone, that's your data are out there, and you can fix your computer and you can fix your tablet, but your phone is always connected to somebody somewhere, and there are some data going out.
You have a friend that never turns his cell phone on unless he wants to make a call. It's very hard to call him.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we do that. We carry this device around that knows where we are and what we're doing 24/7. It knows when you are sleeping. It knows when you're awake.
Yeah.
Because you probably have a sleep tracker on it.
You probably have a sleep tracker. Well, and then there's your watch.
Yeah.
My watch knows what my heart rate is. It knows when I'm sleeping.
Yep.
It tells me I'm not sleeping enough.
So
I need that to tell me.
And the concern is that health data is going to get to the insurance companies, and
right.
and it's going to raise your insurance rates or preclude you getting insurance because you have some unknown health thing that your watch tells you. You better go to the doctor.
Right. So that, you know, that's all out there, and we voluntarily do it. You know, George Orwell must be laughing his ass off.
Mm.
I'm sorry, but that's
the truth.
It's the truth. He's just, you know, we voluntarily, it's not Big Brother, it's Big Us. We voluntarily carry around the means to see us all the time doing everything all the time. And we, you know, we see it particularly with the younger generation. They put everything online. I mean, everything. There's some stuff I would say, you know what? Keep that to yourself.
Well, you know what really annoys me is folks will sit there and then they wonder why it happens. And what I'm referring to is they'll say, well, yeah, I'm going on vacation next week.
Yeah.
Hello?
Thank you. Your house will be empty. Thank you.
Yeah, why don't you just put up a big ad on the front of your house or wherever you live and announce it? Because
I love it when somebody says, I went to.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And post pictures. That's great.
That's
I like
perfect.
To see my friends having fun and blah,
yeah.
blah, blah. But I'm going to is probably not something you want to do. Because it will, you know, it lets people know that you're not going to be home.
It's advertising.
That's exactly right. It's exactly right. So be aware of what you're doing and what you're saying online. You can't hide from everybody. And it knows who your friends are.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Google and Apple both know that we all see each other every Saturday from noon to two.
Yep.
So if we're here and Steve looks up a car.
Yep.
It'll say, well, maybe he was looking that up for Nick. Let's give Nick some car ads.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more than just your data.
What's the most disgusting thing I can look up right now?
And for you, that's not a challenge I want to give you.
He can do that in his sleep.
He's the only person I know who makes incognito mode set on fire. Yeah.
It's the proximity. You're near a lot of people all the time.
Yep.
But if you're near the same person a lot of time, they assume you're at least acquaintances, friends,
right.
work colleagues. You probably have the same interests because
right.
you're near each other
mm-hmm.
so often. So, you know, if you look up something, I'll send ads to this other person too.
Yeah.
Right. And the bigger the group, the more likely that you're meeting because one of your interests are mutual. So, for example, once a month we have the Rochester Googles meeting. All of those people will have Google cell phones, Android phones. They'll bring tablets. They'll bring all that stuff. And we'll look stuff up and talk to each other and all of that stuff. They got to know that we're Google people.
Yep.
You know, and so we're gonna see more Google stuff.
Although that's the tinfoil hat crowd.
Well, that's exactly right. You do apple cider once a month.
Well, we don't do physical meetings anymore, but when we used to.
Right. Yep. So you do apple cider, and you have 50 people in a room, all with iPhones and iPads and MacBooks and whatever they're carrying. At some point, Apple's going to go, well, okay, these are a group of people interested in Apple. We'll send them stuff.
One other thing that I noticed with me, like with the ham radio, they know I belong to Rara.
Right.
So what do? They go to that website and they see all the different board members and everything else. And they start emailing them.
Yep.
And sending, I've even got some fictitious ones that, you know, will sit there and I don't think you'd do that,
Right.
But yeah, they get that and then send that out.
What's happened is somebody somewhere has said, when the rah-rah people get together, Dave Enright is in there with them.
Yep.
So if you want to send something to rah-rah people, Dave Enright, Rochester Area Radio Association.
Yep.
They're ham radio. They're nuts. You think we're nuts? They're nuts. Anyway, the point here is,
thank you.
If they're going to send something to ham radio enthusiasts, Dave's in that group because they know he goes to those meetings.
And like I say, they're looking at the website because we've got people's, you know, if you want to contact this person or that
person,
their email addresses.
That used to be someone in like Indonesia being paid a penny an address to scrape websites.
Yep.
And you know, nowadays it's AI, you know, web bots.
Yeah, little
scraping
web bots,
websites, just sit there finding email addresses,
mining it.
Yeah, whenever you put your email address on a website, or you know, like your email, even your email signature, either don't use an at sign, use the word at or something like that. Or, well, probably the robots are smart enough now to know that's an email address.
Right.
You don't want it to look like an email address for them to be able to scrape and collect.
One of the things I've been playing with is. When somebody wants to email us, it just says, go and email Nick. And then in the background, I have a program that does the emailing. So there's never, you know, it's not their email.
Right. It was like that question you had last week. The guy filled out a form online. Right. And how do I get the email back? Well, you don't, because it wasn't an email. It was a form.
Exactly right. The problem with that is at some point you put in your email address. And if you expect an answer back from me, now you're getting my email address.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's still, there's no foolproof.
Do not reply at.
Right. Yeah. And that's a thing. You know, most places, I suppose if you made a do not reply email address, most places know not to reply.
Mm-hmm.
They don't steal do not replies because there's no human there.
Right. Even if you do read them.
Well,
the assumption is you don't.
What if you made your email address do not reply at whatever?
That's good.
Then you know.
I'm going to try do not reply at mac.com.
Why not?
Someone else probably already has.
That's an
Apple probably already has.
I mean, I already have that at AskNick and NickF.com and all those places. So who knows? Anyway, we're done with the first hour. It was glorious. And we want to thank each and every one of you who donated during the first hour. Bless each and every one of you, but we're not done. It's a whole nother hour of the longest running computer show in the known universe coming your way. A whole nother hour of Dave Enright, a whole nother full hour of Steve Ray, a whole nother hour of me, Nick Francesco, and a whole nother hour of you. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299, toll free 800-790-0415. Pledge securely online at jazz901.org. We'll see you on the other side in just a couple of minutes.
It's America's longest running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Grease Rochester, a public service of the Grease Central School District and official media partner of this year's CGI Rochester International Jazz Festival, Jazz 90.1.
On Instagram at WGMC Jazz 901.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, right here on member supported Jazz 90.1. And our next caller is Larry from Fairport, New York. Hi, Larry. What's up?
Yeah, I wanted to get in on this conversation about how data's collecting, being collected. Is it my imagination, or are they using the voice recognition apps to pick up words? I was having a conversation with somebody about vinyl siding, and all of a sudden I get vinyl siding ads on the phone. I'm just wondering, am I nuts, or is that something that's going on?
Well, you may be nuts. This is not; those are not mutually exclusive things. But
yeah.
but if you ask the companies, they will say no.
They don't need to.
Because they don't need to.
Yeah.
But we certainly see it a lot. Now, some of that is just synchronicity, right?
Okay.
Because we are thinking about vinyl siding, we pay more attention to ads about vinyl siding. They may have been going by regularly, and we just didn't pay attention to them.
Right.
So that's some of it.
And if you were talking with someone else about vinyl siding, they may have done a search.
Right.
And since your devices knew they were near each other, the assumption is you might be interested too.
Right. So they don't really need to be listening via voice recognition. That's not to say they aren't.
Right. Well, we had an Alexa, but I was too creepy. I had to disconnect it.
Yeah.
I was not comfortable with it, you know, with it being on all the time.
Yep. No, I get that. A lot of people have them. That's why many of the models have a button. You can turn it off. And they turn it on just when they need to know something or when they want to listen to music or whatever. When I was last year, I was out for months and months and months because I had torn the quadricep in my left leg. So I was in rehab for that. And they put an Alexa in my room, which was great because I could listen to, you know, music all day long, listen to jazz all day long. And I did. But it must have been, you know, every once in a while I would think, if somebody's listening in, it's got to be the most boring thing in the world because I spend hours not talking to anybody. And when they did come in, it was basically, here's your medication or it's time for rehab what do you call it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
PT.
PT. That's pretty much.
The other thing is if they can listen, they can hear what kind of, like, you got a TV on, right? Or right. If you. You're playing music, so now they know what TV station you listen to. And what it's a little creepy. That yeah. I guess
a lot of TV shows still run commercials saying you don't want to miss an episode of X. You know, hey Siri, listen to X or remind me to watch X. It doesn't work anymore. It used to. But the companies have figured out a way to remove those triggers. There was a very early ad for one of the big hamburger chains, and it was Amazon, tell me about the hamburger, and it would read the Wikipedia entry about the hamburger.
Yeah.
People figured out that was happening, so they started editing the Wikipedia entry on making it the most horrible, ridiculous, you know, don't ever buy these things again. And the advertisers learned pretty quickly, don't do that. And then, and so then the company started removing those triggers. Apparently there's a subsonic tone that gets played, so it doesn't actually set a reminder on your device.
Right. And of course, there's the Wiki Wars,
yeah,
which is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
somebody edits it one way, somebody edits it the other way. Stephen Colbert used to do that a lot. He would say, it would be horrible if somebody went to Wiki and Wikipedia and edited this. So it eventually, apparently, they had somebody who would watch the Colbert Report and immediately lock that entry.
Yeah.
So they couldn't. Yeah.
Right. Well, back in 2017, there was the infamous dollhouse incident where some little kid said, Amazon, buy me a dollhouse. And it did.
Yep.
The parents had one-click ordering turned on. So I want to know how it picked which dollhouse.
Right.
So suddenly a dollhouse shows up at the at probably the expensive one, most expensive one,
right.
Shows up at the parents' house. They take the story to the news, and the news reported the story and said, Amazon buy me a dollhouse. All over, was it Seattle, I think it was, people started getting dollhouses.
Yep. Yep. And that's one of the reasons we tend to call it Alaska when we're talking about it, so that it doesn't set anything off for anybody. More importantly, that's one of the reasons that they stopped.
Yep.
Why there's that subtone.
Yeah. I set my device to be named a computer, and I'm watching Star Trek, and it fired photon torpedoes at me.
Yeah. So voice recognition was a huge accomplishment in software, right?
Yep.
I remember for the movie 2001, and they said, "Oh, it'll be years before we can actually talk to a computer like HAL," you know.
Right. And you used to need special chips, a DSP chip, in your computer, and now it's gotten far enough that that's just all based in the regular CPU.
You can do it on a Raspberry Pi.
Yeah,
it's not terribly fast, but you can do it.
Gee.
Well, and the voice recognition is pretty amazing. The other day. And on my Alaska, there was a little green ring, which meant there was, or orange or yellow, whatever the color is, that said there was a wait. So I said, Alaska, what's my notification? And it said, you don't have any new notifications, but there's a notification for another profile.
Oh.
So my wife said, what's my notification? And it told her. So it not only understands language, it understands the people. Which person is asking for something?
Right. And it's obvious they got speech recognition in all the languages too, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Many of them, yes.
So that's how this online, you can learn foreign languages online, right? That you're basically talking to their speech recognition software.
Right. And if it can understand you, you spoke it right.
There's an app you can get. To translate in real time.
So it's built into Google and iPhone now.
Right. And so you can say, hello, where is the library?
Yeah.
And the other end will say, biblioteca, whatever it is.
¿Dónde está biblioteca?
Where is the money? ¿Dónde está la dinero?
Yeah.
Or is it el dinero?
Yeah, is money male or female?
Right. Anyway, so that's all there, Larry.
All right. So one last quick point is I think it's really important that we continue to have independent broadcasters like you guys.
Thank you.
Because, you know, when money starts changing hands and you start getting paid by an advertiser, you're not going to see anything bad about that advertiser.
Right.
And that's why, you know, I think that when software and stuff comes out, you guys give us an honest, you know, your honest opinion about it, I think that's really valuable to the community. And, you know, it's just amazing because I think there's a lot of this stuff that goes on without us knowing about it, you know, as far as is money changing hands and people not being independent. So
Right. Anyways,
but anyways, well, I should probably make a donation after that, huh?
I think you probably should. Thank you, Larry.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
Thanks, Larry. Bye-bye. Oh, and for Larry and everybody else, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Just like Stephen did. Thank you, Stephen, very much for your generous donation. You can join them. Join all the people who donated today. It's easy enough to do. I just gave you the numbers. I won't bore you again. I gave you the website. You can pledge securely online, and we do mean securely. It only takes a couple of minutes, and as Larry said, it keeps us independent. You know, we don't have, it's one of the reasons we don't have many guests on. One of the things that happens is when a guest wants to come on, the first thing I say to them is you realize you're not here to advertise your product. And a lot of them then just don't want to come on after that. We don't want advertisers. We want people who have information. We want people who have knowledge to share. So we don't sell ourselves or anybody else. So that's how that works. And so you can be assured that we're giving you the best information we have, no matter who wins or loses because of that information. Back to the phones. Our next caller is Steve from Macedon, New York. Hi, Steve. What's up?
Yes, good afternoon. My wife and I on separate computers are having an issue with Roadrunner email on Thunderbird. Suddenly this week, we could receive email, but we couldn't send. She's got Thunderbird on a Windows computer, and I've got Thunderbird on Ubuntu computer.
One of the things that's happened with Spectrum, formerly Charter, formerly Time Warner, formerly Roadrunner, is that the server addresses have changed. So you need to make sure you update both your incoming server and your outgoing server to mail.twc.com. That's frequently the problem with Roadrunner connection issues.
That's what she has, but I still have smtp.rochester.rr.com, and the way I solved my problem yesterday was it kept coming in saying login to server, failed, and retry, and then suddenly a window that says enter new password. So I entered my old password, and suddenly now I can send email. But she cannot do that. She has no problem sending email on her iPad. It's only on her Windows desktop machine. Her phone works okay. The SSL settings and the secure, authentication method is different. But she can't get it to work on her desktop. Now, I set up a third computer with Thunderbird using the mail TWC and everything, and it worked with no problem. But why is my mine still working now with the old Roadrunner, and all I did was re-enter in my old password?
Are you using SMTP or IMAP?
I am using
Pop or IMAP.
Pop 3.
Okay,
that's part of the problem. I don't know if the new server... So for the longest time, the RR.com server didn't support IMAP, and you had to use POP.
Right.
But eventually, I'm surprised the servers are still working at all. The old servers are going to go away. For a while, you would get an error message about a domain spoofing. It was worried that you were trying to connect to R.com, and it was sending you to TWC.com, so it's trying to spoof a domain. No, it's just because the old server's gone, the new server's coming. I'm posting a link from Spectrum on what the server settings should be, and the mail.twc.com is the server address for both incoming and outgoing.
Yeah, that's what she has, and she has port 587, and connection security is start TTLS, normal password, and her username.
It may not be start TTLS. It may be the other one.
Okay.
What's the other?
SSL?
Yes.
Yeah, I believe it is okay. SSL now.
Yeah, she's tried both.
One thing I might suggest, and see, here's the problem. You're using POP, which means that your email has disappeared from the server and is only on your computer. My suggestion would be to forget the email on Thunderbird.
Delete that account setting.
Completely.
Oh, delete that account setting.
The problem is you'll lose the mail.
So copy the mail you have into another folder on your computer rather than in the right. email
you,
account.
You can export your mm-hmm. mail. So you might want to do that before you do this. But once you've done that, completely forget the Thunderbird account, the account on Thunderbird, and start it up again.
And okay. most of the email programs now automatically look up the right settings.
Right.
Okay, yeah. When I set up Thunderbird from scratch on a third computer, it tried a couple of things, and then I went to the Spectrum site and entered in the stuff, and it worked fine with no problem. She's afraid of losing all her mail folders, her old mail, and everything that she has stored on her computer.
And that's what would happen, absolutely.
Yeah, and so in the Thunderbird settings, there's two sections in that sidebar on the left. One of them is the mail server, and one of them is on my computer. So mm-hmm. you want to make sure that the mail says on my computer. Right. And not on the mail server. And
can he change it to Yahoo?
No. That's Frontier.
Frontier, right.
So Frontier is doing the same thing. They're changing from Frontier.com to Yahoo.com as their back-end mail server. Your email address doesn't change, but you have to change your mail program to go to the different server address.
She has a Gmail account. She's thought of using Yahoo, but she really likes the way folders and things are set up in Thunderbird.
Well, that doesn't matter. You can use any email service you want in Thunderbird. And in fact, you can use all of the services at the same time to get all of your mail from all of your different accounts.
Okay. So she can set up a Yahoo email account and still use Thunderbird.
Right.
And Gmail. I do the same thing myself.
Yeah, I'd recommend Gmail over Yahoo. Gmail's mail filters and junk protection is a lot better.
A lot better.
And the other problem with using your Roadrunner email address is if you ever leave Roadrunner, then you lose that address. So it makes it hard to switch to a better, cheaper, faster service that may be available in your area because that you're so entrenched with that email address. So if you can get a new address and start using it and tell all your friends to start using the new address, that can help later on.
Okay, but one of the settings is using Nmap. I think you said, right?
IMAP.
IMAP, okay.
The Internet Mail Access Protocol. Right. So with IMAP, all of your mail stays on the server, and that allows you to synchronize your mail between all your devices. So you read on your phone, you delete a message from the phone, it's deleted from the computer. You read the message on your tablet, it marks as read on your phone. So everything synchronizes between all your devices. Pop was designed in the olden days when you would dial up on a modem, download your mail, and hang up as soon as you could because you had to pay by the minute.
Right.
And nobody had more than one device.
How will she delete the email if it's always kept on the server then? Because I've got a setting in my Thunderbird that says keep it on the server for a maximum like 14 days.
And that works.
Right. And with IMAP, when you delete it from your computer, it deletes it from the server.
Okay.
And if you want to keep
it on your computer.
Right, so then you would drag it to a mail folder on your computer, and that would delete it from the server and move it to your computer.
Okay.
But a lot of people just leave it on the server, then all those mail folders are on the server, and you can see them on all the other computers too.
Yeah, all right. Got a couple things to try. She spent hours online and got frustrated because it seems like a lot of people are having a similar problem. But no solutions. You know, they go on, try this, try that.
The usual solution we hear them say is just use webmail. And especially in Spectrum's case, the webmail is horrible. Yahoo webmail is full of ads.
Right.
Google webmail is pretty decent. But I still like using a mail reader because I have multiple addresses from multiple services.
Right. I've got, at home, I've got, I think, 8 different email addresses coming into Thunderbird.
Yep.
And they all work fine, and I can go to anyone I want. And when I reply, it replies from that address. So it's really insanely convenient to use Thunderbird.
Yes, it is. Okay. All right, we got a couple things to try here. I know the forum on Thunderbird hasn't been any help yet either. So I was wondering if there was any other way to try to get some help and raising a support ticket with the Thunderbird wasn't any help either.
Yeah.
Right.
The other thing that we're seeing happening in the mail industry is the switch away from that start TLS and SSL into OAuth. So Google and Yahoo already do it. So when you set up the email program, it will log into the website, verify that's really you on the website, and then you have to give it permission. So it's a very scary message. We've had people answer wrong, and then they can't get their mail. Mm-hmm. You get a scary message saying, do you want to give Yahoo wants to give permission to this computer? And, well, no, I don't want anyone to use my Yahoo account. No, it's your computer needs to have permission to access your Yahoo account at the other end. So you have to say, yes, give this computer permission to access the email. And it's more secure that way because it's not just the password. So right. It makes it harder for bad guys to break into your email account. Your email program.
Right. Google does the same thing.
Google, right. So far, Yahoo, Google, Apple do it. Spectrum doesn't.
Right.
Okay. One more question. Do you know, I read on the internet that we get automatic updates on Thunderbird, both of us.
Yep.
And supposedly the latest update went to part of the problem may be a more secure version of Thunderbird, and that's why we can't send mail.
In some cases you have to reauthorize, but Yahoo, or rather,
Spectrum
doesn't do that. So that's not the problem in this case.
Yeah, when the mail programs didn't get updated for OAuth, there was a time when you couldn't log into your Google account in Thunderbird because it didn't support OAuth.
Right.
Oh, okay. I thought it was reauthorizing. When I fixed my problem by just entering in my old password again,
right,
and everything started working, I thought that may have reauthorized. Well,
you're still going through the old server that way, too.
The old server, yes, yeah. Right. And she's got the new server.
So right.
That's the difference.
And that old server will eventually shut down.
Yeah. Okay. I'll have to update to the latest server then, too.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks,
try
Steve.
Some other things here. Yep.
Bye-bye.
Right. Bye.
Again, that leads us to reminding you that having an email address at your service provider, your internet service provider, is not the best, is not optimal.
It used to be the only way.
Right. But now an address at Gmail or Yahoo or one of those places means that you can, if you decide to switch providers, and we've seen it when people move.
Yep.
How do I keep my old email? Well, you don't. There's no way to do that.
Yeah. Frontier has said that you can keep your old address if you leave Frontier. But we have seen they're less than helpful on tech support after you're no longer a Frontier customer.
Right. All right. First, before we go to the phones, let us thank Fred for his very generous donation. Thank you, Fred, very much. And now let's also thank Rich and Joe and Charles and Ed. Wow, thank you all very much. Very generous. I love our listeners. And now let's talk to Fred from Rochester, New York. Hiya, Fred. Thanks, and what's up?
Hey, just wanted to give you a shout-out and tell all those folks that are listening and not paying to get off the stick and dig deep. You guys have saved me so much money in service calls or trying to find any kind of information. I have asked tech people, and they'll say, well, you know, for $2,000, we'll come out and take a look at it and see what we can do, but we can't promise anything.
Right.
And I'm going, what? And you guys do it for free, and I appreciate that. And, again, I'll thank Dave for the hot tip on the money dance. And he was spot on with that. I'm loving it.
Good.
So, glad you enjoy it, Fred.
And Fred, we thank you for your ongoing support. We very much appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, well, you take care now.
You too. Another unsolicited testimonial, ladies and gentlemen. And Fred is right. If you look at all of the money we've saved you, individually, you, over the years, send us some.
And even if we're the only show you listen to on this station, that's like 100 hours a year. A buck an hour. Are we worth a buck an hour to you?
Exactly.
And maybe you'll find something else. There's a lot of great shows on this station.
A lot of great shows on this station. And it takes an entire radio station to put this show on the air. So whether you listen to other stuff or not, You need to keep the station on the air in order to keep this show on the air. That's just the way that works. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's Soundbites. Take a quick break, but we'll all be back with a whole lot more Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you on the other side.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Lane. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And 34 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Before we get back to the phones, we want to thank Jim for his donation. Thank you so much, Jim. And Dennis, who is our newest Jazz-O-Matic member. We should spend a moment talking about Jazz-O-Matic, by the way. For a monthly sum, you can decide whatever amount you want. Minimum is $10. We take that directly out of your account for a year, and only a year. It doesn't go on beyond that. We take it out for a year, and you get the benefit of the full amount. So if, for example, you take out 10, you say you want to be a Jazz-O-Matic member for 10 bucks a year, it's a $120 membership. And you get the premiums that come with a $120 membership. So there's just a lot of stuff you can do. And it's a small bite once a month that ends up being big for us. So if you're thinking of becoming a member, consider Jazz-O-Matic as the way to do it. And again, you can do that on the website, or you can do it.
And you can stop it at any time. You know,
and you can stop it at any, if your circumstances change. You can just call us up and say you can't do this anymore, and we'll make it stop. All right, to the phones. Our next caller is Tom from Brighton, New York. What's up, Tom?
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. So I've got an older PC, an older Windows PC. It's actually getting close to 12, 13 years old, but it's worked just fine until a couple of weeks ago. When it boots up now, the screen comes on, says, overclocking has failed. Please enter setup to reconfigure your system. Press F1 to run setup. Which I do. I can set it up, and then it starts to run again. Like, it runs off an SSD, a terabyte drive. It's got 24 gigs of memory, so certainly no shortage there. But after a while, if it's on for a long time, it freezes typically, and then I have to reboot it. And then I get this message. Every time it boots up, I get this overclocking message saying overclocking. To my knowledge, I'm not running overclocking. But nevertheless, that's what it comes up with.
Well, the system thinks you are, so you haven't made any changes when you reboot, right?
Correct.
Yeah, you should at least go and look to see if overclocking is turned on somehow.
Yeah, and that might be tough because it may be a 2.9 gigahertz chip and it's set to 3.0. You may not know it's overclocking.
Right, right.
So you may have to go back to the original specs on the motherboard to see what the chip is supposed to run at.
And we can't necessarily lead you right to the space because there are so many BIOS
configurations
that you can that you can have. You know,
is it a name brand PC by any chance?
Yes, it is. I mean, the motherboard's an Asus motherboard, and it's an American Megatrends BIOS, the message says.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, at any rate, the thing to do is to look to see what the clock rate is. And you'd have to know what your system will do, and once you know those two things, you can determine whether or not you're
overclocking it or not.
And it may not have been anything you did. It could have been an update to the BIOS. It could just be
a hiccup,
or the original manufacturer decided to overclock it a few gigahertz to, or to charge it, be able to charge more.
Right.
Well, because that's the theory and why overclocking exists at all. So Intel makes a chip and say, I want it to run at 3 gigahertz. Well, this one only tests it at 2.9. So we'll call it a 2.9. But it might run at 2.95. Or it might run at 3.1. They only tested it at 3. And if it fails at 3, they try 2.9. And if it fails at 2.9, they try 2.8. So you might be able to overclock a little bit depending on that chip. But over time, especially 10 to 12 years, the chip going through its heating and cooling cycles and just wearing out can't overclock as much.
Okay.
So it may not even have been something you did. It may have been done at the other end.
Does it keep the time and date okay for you?
Yes.
Because that'd be the CMOS battery.
Yeah.
Yeah, the build date on this, for instance, it comes on the bioscreen, says April 8th, 2011. That's what it was built.
Oh, just had a birthday.
Okay.
Yeah, but you got to go into the BIOS and go through it. It's probably under advanced features or something like that, or system features. And
performance, maybe.
Yeah, and look for, it'll say overclocking.
Okay, I'm looking at that advanced features right now. Let's see, so BIOS information, version date.
If you can get the actual version of the BIOS and motherboard, try Googling that plus overclocking.
Okay.
Because that's what I tried overclocking ASUS, and it's just too many options.
Yeah, one of the things you can do is there's a program. We talk about CCleaner regularly here. They have a program called Specky, S-P-E-C-C-Y, and it will give you detailed information about every piece of hardware in your computer. Theoretically, that would also be the CPU and the motherboard.
Okay. Something else to look at. It's a CCleaner. That's what it's called, right?
Well,
right.
It's from the company CCleaner.
The program is called Specky, S-P-E-C-C-Y. It's ccleaner.com/Specky.
And that will tell you what your CPU is currently running at. Won't necessarily tell you if that's overclocked or not. So, again, that you'd have to go back to the original manual. Or maybe it's printed on the front of the machine.
It might be printed on the front of the machine.
2.9 gigahertz.
Right, or it'll give you the model number of the CPU, and you can look it up on Intel's site.
Yeah.
And then you'll know that it's supposed to, you know, because I've seen that on machines, 2.5 gigahertz machine running at 3 gigahertz. Right. Well, that's overclocked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That's good information. Thank you. I'll follow up on it.
All right. Thank you.
And thank you.
Yeah, sorry we can't lead you right there. Wish we could. All right.
Too many options. Overclocking was a real big thing, maybe 10 years ago?
Yeah, right.
Because everyone's trying to eke the most performance out of their CPUs they can. Nowadays, your CPU is running at 3 gigahertz, so it's 3 billion times per second. It's waiting for you to do something.
And that's not fair. Right. It's,
yeah.
Now it's spending 99.999% of its time idle. But, yeah, unless you're playing a huge game or whatever. But in general, you can do most things. Now, we talk about Chromebooks. They have very low specs, mm-hmm. but they don't need high specs because you're doing everything on the web.
Yeah.
All they have to do is be able to get to the web, and then everything happens there. But on older on machines where you run things, then the faster you can run things, the better off you are.
I'm doing a multi-camera video streaming suit here, and my CPU is about 70% idle.
Right.
In the middle, it's 90% occupied, but most of the time,
it's not. Right. Yeah. All right. Our next caller is Mary Ann from Irondequoit, New York. What's up, Mary Ann?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just have a question regarding Quicken, and I wondered if you might be able to tell me the program that you can use instead of Quicken.
Yeah. It's a very good program. It's a free program.
It's not free. It's a one-time payment.
Yeah, one-time payment.
No subscription.
Yeah, but it's a lifetime update. And it's very, I think it's only like $60.
That's if you want the Super Whiz Bang one. There's a regular one for like $40.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, it's called Money Dance, and you can download it, try it out. And what you would do is you would export your information from Quicken to a file out on your desktop. Once you get Money Dance up and running, you can then import all your Quicken data. So any reminders or anything else like that, or reoccurring charges and that will be pulled in. And same with your bank registry.
They do offer a subscription for more super advanced features.
Yeah,
but the regular one-time purchase is going to be pretty much everything most people need.
That's $40, right?
$65. I just looked it up.
Yeah, $65. Because that's what I did. Because the other one is if you want to store it up on the web, or which I don't need because I've got a Gmail account and I get free storage up there. And I just have the file go up to my Google Drive.
And I will pop I'll pop that to the top of the link list on our website.
Okay, so now so you can download from the bank onto your this program Money Dance?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, you can set all that stuff up.
It works very much like Quicken.
Yeah.
And it even looks like Quicken.
Yeah. They've got, you know, the calendar for reminding and setting up reoccurring things. The bank the registry log looks the same, you know, that you would put in the date and what type of transaction this is. And then the, stored information. So if you got a reoccurring one, say like RG&E. You would just start typing, and all of a sudden it would fill it in.
Okay. Okay. So you can actually pay bills from there?
No, you don't pay bills through there. You would. It's just like Quicken. Quicken doesn't pay your bills. Usually you've got it set up to, say, like RG&E again. So automatically withdraw.
It will automatically enter the transaction in Money Dance. You would still use your bank's bill pay feature if you wanted to do automatic bill pay.
Okay, and then it would just download it to your Money Bank's program, though.
Right.
Yep.
The transaction that you did it. Yep.
So you don't really have to type it into the Money Dance program if you're going to download it from the bank, though.
Right. Yep. No, you can have it automatically do it.
Bill Pay is one of their advanced features if you want to pay more for that service.
Oh, for the banking one?
Right, so it'll actually pay your bill inside of Money Dance.
Right, remember how we said that you can use Money Dance at the low payment or the high payment versions? The high payment version does let you set up automatic payments.
Okay. All right, I'll have to try it out. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And the high payment is only $65 and one time, so it's not that high. Money Dance is an excellent program. It is very full featured. It is an excellent thing to use. And where did you hear about it? Oh, right here on Soundbites. What a great thing to support!
Okay, yep.
A program that gives you that kind of information.
Okay,
and you can support us pretty easily, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. And I'm talking to you, all the people who download the podcast during the week. There are many hundreds of you who do that, and it wouldn't hurt you to become a member. It takes just a couple of minutes, and you can do that online at jazz901.org. And while you're doing that, we will go back to the phones and we will talk to Ron from Canandaigua, New York. Hi, Ron. What's up?
Hey, thanks, gentlemen, for taking my call. So I have a relatively new MacBook Air with the M2 chip in it. And every time I go to do an update on the OS, my Google Chrome app disappears and I have to re-download it.
Well, that shouldn't happen. But is it actually disappearing, or is it just being removed from the dock? Is it still in your applications folder?
No, it is not. It's totally gone, and I have to reinstall it.
Okay. Do you actually install it? So when you download the Google Chrome installer, you have to drag the icon onto your computer first.
Yep, that's what I did.
I've seen so many people run it from the installer disk, and then the installer disk unmounts, and it's gone.
Right.
Gotcha. I'll double check that, but I thought I followed the directions.
Yeah, make sure the Google Chrome application is in your applications folder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There's nothing inherent that I know of that would delete the app. It's not an Apple app, so it should leave it alone. If it was an Apple app, it may load an update, but it shouldn't delete it. Apple even leaves the old incompatible apps in your system.
Right.
Gotcha. All right. Well, let me give it another shot then and see what happens.
Yeah, there comes a point where you get a screen that shows the app and an arrow and a folder, and you have to drag.
Right. And if you miss, it's not in the applications folder. But if you double-click it from the install disk, it will run and open. It won't be able to auto-update, and then it won't be in your applications folder to automatically run next time. And if you reboot the computer, then the icon's gone because it's
right. So
not
you do
installed.
Have to do that drag and make sure you get it into the folder.
I must be a poor dragger. I'll give it another.
All right, let us know.
Have a good afternoon.
Thanks,
you
Ron.
Too.
You too.
I almost. Well, so on the Mac, there's so many ways to do the same thing. It's annoying. Installing a program. Some programs, you just drag it into the applications folder.
Right.
People have trouble with dragging. I see people miss the trash all the time, even on Windows, too.
Yep.
So then other programs, you double-click the installer to install it. And then it does everything it needs to do during the install. So the other half of the time is then what do you do when you uninstall it? Well, if you dragged it to install, then you drag it to delete. But if you ran a program to install it, then you got to run a program to uninstall it. It's okay.
Right.
There's so many ways to do
the problem is
thing.
If you have double-clicked something to install it,
yep.
And then you come up to one that needs to be dragged, but you double-click it, it runs.
Yep.
And so you think it installed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I get
some
it.
Some programs, and I've seen them do this, some programs will say, are you sure you want to run this from the installer image? Do you want me to install it? I love it. Do you want me to install me for you? Okay, yeah, thanks.
You're right.
except one time when I don't want it installed, I'm just going to run this once, and it's okay to stay in the download folder.
right. Yeah, but it's not as easy as you think.
Trying to make it too easy becomes hard.
Right, exactly. Because there's no consistency.
Right. And partly because the computers have been around so long, it used to be one way, and then it's another way. And it depends on what way you learned, and if the new program doesn't do it the way you learned, it's confusing.
Right. There's a lot of confusion, but it's not your fault.
Yep.
It's just the way it is.
Just the way it is. Yeah, absolutely. All right, we got about 5 minutes left, so I can, we don't have anybody on the line.
That was number 5 minutes just then.
Don't talk. Do not talk. We're going to do the Apple Vision thing, because you're here now, and you can be angry about it. Some Apple Vision Pro owners apparently have been dealing with health issues related to the wearing of the headset. Vision Pro owners reportedly experienced headaches and neck pain, among other issues. One user said she got 2 super dark black eyes after wearing the Vision Pro for the first time, likely caused by the weight on the cheeks. Another user said he had pain at the base of his skull and his upper back. There have also been complaints about the Vision Pro on Reddit from users experiencing ongoing headaches, eye strain, and pain from the weight of the device. Some users have had luck with modifying straps and third-party products, and other people have no issue with the headset and the default band options. Apple declined to comment on the customer complaints, directing inquiries to its user guidelines. Apple recommends taking a break from the headset every 20 to 30 minutes during the acclimation period and to stop using the headset when feeling unwell. Doctor, it hurts when I do this.
Don't do that.
Apple does not recommend that people experiencing eye pain, headache, or pain to continue to use the device. If you had problems with the Vision Pro headset, give us a call on a real phone, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free, 800-790-0415. Those are the numbers you can also use to pledge, and you can also pledge securely online. Listen to me, all you people who download the podcast during the week. Pledge securely online at jazz901.org.
Yeah, so the Apple Vision hangs off the front of your face with the default band. It wraps around the back of your head, and there's a little crank where you crank it down. Well, the tighter you crank it, the better it's going to hold, but then it hurts.
Right.
So also in the box is a strap that goes over top of your head. Doesn't look as pretty.
Right.
It depends on your hairstyle, but then it takes some of the weight off your face of having this thing hang on your face.
Right.
The lady with the rings around it, I wonder if she didn't put the insert in right.
Or she put them on too tight.
There's a foam insert there that's supposed to stop that.
Well, isn't there something for your glasses you can...
Yeah, there. You can also put in basically prescription lenses inside of it. Now, there was a story this week where they're estimating. What's the word I want? Eventually, there will come a time when it doesn't need the glasses insert. Because it's looking at your iris.
Oh, nice.
You have to wear glasses because you can't focus right.
Right.
And so the thing is looking at your iris. It can figure out what your prescription needs to be and just make the screen fuzzy.
Yeah.
So you see it properly.
Properly, right.
Autofocus.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
So it can basically match your prescription without using that lens in front of it.
That is nice.
And we thought the Dick Tracy watch was obscured.
Yeah, it was the height of it was ludicrous.
Yeah.
What, that's science fiction.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, rockets to Mars and Dejithoris and all of that. And suddenly we're wearing watches.
Yeah.
And talking about putting people on Mars. So
Mars is a planet completely inhabited by robots.
That's exactly right.
And most of them are dead.
Well, I saw this other device talk about futuristic things. It's like a little cube, and you can point it at your keyboard. It takes like an image, and just turn it around, and then it puts the actual image of the keyboard on the desktop.
Yes.
A laser virtual keyboard.
Yeah, and you can just sit there and type on it so you don't have to worry about spilling anything on it. Or
the problem with those are that it gives you, it's easier to get carpal tunnel with it because there's no give on the desktop. And that's a problem. But
something's got to give.
Something's got to give. And if it's not
on a piece of foam.
Yep.
Put it on a piece of foam. But right off the desktop.
Yeah.
Right off the table, that's not good.
There were early attempts at that in the smartphone days where you could set your smartphone on a stand and it would project a keyboard.
Yep.
So you didn't have to type on the little tiny keyboard.
Right.
Weren't they going to do something that from the watch it would project onto your arm?
Yes. That was completely fake.
Oh, was it?
Oh, and he made a lot of money off of that before they caught him.
It's a great science fiction movie.
Exactly. It was going to be a little band, I think it was called Cricket, maybe, that you wore on your wrist, and it would display everything on your arm. Now, if you're wearing a shirt, that's a problem.
Yeah.
If you've got hairy arms, that's a problem. But that was the idea, and people, you know, it was like a pay in advance. What do they call those? Where you can go online and
pay-per-view?
No. Where you can go online and get a thing that isn't built yet.
Oh, Kickstarter?
Kickstarter. Thank you. I should know. I lost a lot of money on Kickstarter once.
Yep.
But a lot of people lost money with this Cricket thing. It was completely fake.
Well, and now that the screens have gotten to be so good and so small, you see this all the time on cop shows now and military shows. The guy's got a 6-inch tablet on his wrist.
Right.
And that's got the mission plan. They feed the fiber optic camera under the door jamb, the IR camera. Yeah. It's all right there.
Yep.
And he's got the Velcro cover on it so it doesn't give away your position to the enemy.
Exactly. And yeah. So
and that's what they're doing on TV shows.
Right.
What are they doing in the real army?
Well, exactly. And you can. I keep looking at those kind of displays for a Raspberry Pi
mm-hmm.
and just thinking, I don't have anywhere to put it. I don't have anything that I really want to show on it. But if I did, holy moly, there's just so much, so many toys out there. So many toys out there. But yeah. And you know what? Your best toy, the best thing you can do for yourself right now is to make that call, make that pledge. Become part of the Jazz 90.1 and Soundbites families and make sure that we stay on the air bringing you all the news and information and help that you really need. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 800-790-0415. Or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Do it right now before you forget, and become part of the family. That music tells us we are done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright. I want to thank Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. I want to thank everybody who calls in. You people were very generous today, and I cannot tell you how much we appreciate it. We love doing this show. We love that we can come to you every week. But it's nice to be appreciated. And it's nice to know that we can stay on the air. And that only happens if you make that call and make that pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. It's 58 minutes after the hour. You've been listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. And with your help, we'll see you in just 166 hours.